Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry. We are excited to welcome a very special guest to the podcast today, Josh Wilfong. Josh joined Orca Life in June of 2024. In a very short time, he's already made a big impact. Not only has he brought passion and purpose to his work, but he's also grown a team of five in record time. Josh has a unique perspective and an inspiring story that we're honored to share with you today. Whether in the industry or just loving to hear stories of growth and leadership, this episode is for you. So, Josh, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be a part of this morning.
Yeah. Me as well. Yes, I believe it'll be unforgettable. You do not want to miss Josh's journey, and I'm excited to unpack that. Josh's journey to us, I think, is even a little unforgettable. You know, the recruiting effort and what it takes to be a recruiter, especially in the insurance world when you're up against thousands of others, can get very draining. And I still remember the story of Kevin, who you all know from the show, that was sitting there beat down at the end of the day. And lo and behold, he took this one more phone call that he did not want to maybe take at that time late in the night. And that has introduced us to Josh. And how many other people has that introduced us to through you, Josh?
So I have currently five guys as far as my downlines that are actually active agents. We've got some more studying from other hiring events and things. But we've been in the realm of, you know, bringing some guys in, growing my business, but then some that aren't the right guy. And that's stretched me and taught me a ton as well. So,
it is
well, guys, losing guys, it's tough to deal with, but it's also stretched me as a leader because that's some of the places that I need to grow.
Well, and you've also just added a new addition to the family. So now you're three, right? You're outnumbered now, as they say.
Yes, which is crazy. Every time you get out to go to any store, it's no longer just a quick trip in. Every stop's 30 minutes.
Amen to that. Is that not the truth? The carriers getting the kids out of the car seat.
Oh, we have one of those things called a doona. You guys know what those are? It's a pumpkin seat with foldable wheels. It makes life so much easier.
You actually fold the car seat out?
Yeah, the pumpkin seat kind of folds down, collapses, and then it sticks into a base in the truck. It's pretty stinking neat.
So,
yeah, saves my dad arms from having to carry that thing route.
Modern day advancements.
We weren't
that long ago, but I guess it's been long enough. So, we'll move on with today and kind of what we want to open up and unpack. And Josh, I know we always theme these shows around kind of a message or a quote. And when we asked you, you gave us your mission. And I love that because you are very tied to your mission, I imagine. And knowing your journey and knowing your life, I know the commitment that you give. So for you to have an own personal mission statement, it means a lot. And it would mean a lot to anybody else that wanted to dig in and do that for themselves. But Josh says that my mission is to help people encounter Christ in a new and creative way. And Josh, I know I asked you, I wanted to know a little bit about maybe where that came from and what it means to you, that statement.
Yeah, for sure. So for me, it was one of those situations where honestly, I was praying and asking the Lord, you know, like, because oftentimes we find ourselves like, all right, what? What's your will for my life? You know what I mean? And we have these splits in the road ahead of us, whether it's a career path or something, you're trying to make this decision, right? It's like, all right, Lord, where do you want me to go? And he just dropped it in me, like the idea of whatever you do, do it for the glory of God, right? And that's literally scripture as well. I think it's Colossians maybe 3:17. But then with that, he just dropped this little nugget in my spirit that was basically just, I want you to help people encounter Christ in a creative way. And I was like, all right, what does that mean, right? And so just the whole idea is like, we're so used to hearing so many different stories and journeys through organized church, right? Which is a beautiful thing. And I believe in it. I support it, you know, all the things. But I also think there's other avenues where we can grow, disciple, and reach folks, right? Right where they're at, right? And so everything I do channels right back to that, right? It's through conversations, through music, through sales, through leadership podcasts, you know, whatever it is, whether I'm sitting in a home with a client, whether I'm on the road with on the phone with an agent, whether I'm on stage leading people in worship, or whether I'm on a podcast right here, I can help folks encounter Christ in a new and creative way, right? And so my mission always goes back to that. Like, how can I help people encounter him? How can I help people encounter him through me, through my actions, through my words, everything I'm saying and doing? I want, because as a follower of Jesus, right, everything we say and do does portray Jesus, whether it's a good portrait we're painting or a bad one, right? And so everything we say and do points back to him. And so for me, it's just a check in my spirit, a reminder, hey, know who you are, where you come from, and who you represent. So
I love that. I love that, because think about, you know, when you think about, as you spoke earlier, you know, typically, you know, organized church, and yes, we support that as well. But hey, what are some other creative ways that I can share, right? I can share about your testimony or your love or, you know, examples of who Christ is. So I love that. And how many families you get to meet each and every week, and how often you get to do that, because that also inspires the spirit as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Everything we do, there's an avenue in which we can love on folks. And if there's one thing that I took away from my accident, which we'll get into later, is every encounter that I have with folks, if I can make them feel loved, because scripture again says they will know us by our love for one another, right? Then I'm doing my job well. If I can make people feel loved, not just by what I'm saying, but what I'm doing as well. So
I love that. Well, Josh, you know, you have a very unique story, and really one that should be shared in, you know, can you unpack that? Because that's something that really shifted your lens possibly on life and your outlook on life. So can you share a little bit about your story?
Yeah, for sure. So in the simplest, I'm not going to go through all of it just because we might be here forever if I do.
We got time.
The stripped down version would be this. So I grew up in a Christian home, right? My dad, follower of Jesus, he was a worship pastor at a church for about 13 years. Grew up under a Christian home, like I said, but my dad had these underlying anger issues, right? That then I swore I would never have, right? But then ended up developing later on in life, because all the people that we swear we're never going to be, somehow we end up turning into those people. I'm never going to say that. And my dad always said, guess what? Then it flies out of my mouth when I have a kid. Like, what's what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I came to know Jesus at a young age because of that, right? Growing up in the Christian home, being raised in the church. But it wasn't until I was in high school that I really figured out what it actually meant to follow Jesus, right? To actually choose him daily, to die to self, that whole idea. And so with that being said, once I finally figured out what it meant to follow, like, every good leader has to learn to follow first, right? But once I finally figured out how to follow, like, that's when things changed, right? That's when things started to change in my spiritual walk of my journey. But I thought I was, you know, in a place of like, man, I'm rock solid in my faith, all these things. I got out of high school, was dating my high school sweetheart, right? Ended up getting married. I had just turned 20, like 6 days before we got married. And so we got married pretty young. A few years later, I think it was like maybe 2 years later, we decided, hey, let's start trying to have kids, right? Well, my wife, she had some cysts in her ovaries, rupture. And they told us we'd never be able to have kids, right? Which was devastating to my wife, obviously. And for me as a husband, obviously devastating too, but I didn't know how to comfort her through that, right? Fast forward a few years later, right? Guess what? Now we're pregnant with our first child, and which is crazy. And so we're having our first kid. I'm in the middle of a job transition, you know, just financially, I needed to make a different move, you know, and things. Because we're having a child, right? And that's expensive. And I knew the hospital bills were coming. I knew all the things. And so I'm in the middle of a job transition. And so I transitioned to selling motorcycles, side-by-sides, four-wheelers, that kind of thing. Day two on the job, I'm headed to work. It's a beautiful morning, right? And I had about a 50, 55-minute drive to work. My father-in-law texted me the night before. He's like, hey, I know, you know, you just sold your bikes because of having a kid, right? It's beautiful weather, save you some money on fuel, stop by my house. It's on the way anyway, hop on one of my bikes. And so of course I'm going to take advantage of that. Right. So I swing into his house, hop on a bike and take off. Just like I said, it was a beautiful, smooth, crisp morning, just like everything you dream of as a motorcyclist. Right. And so on my way to work, pull into a gas station, get me some breakfast. And as I'm pulling out, traffic's kind of backed up and things. They're doing some road work on an on-ramp on a interstate up near me. And I was, as I pulled out, I was about 1,000 yards from my workplace, not that far. And a gentleman pulled out in front of me. They estimated my speed about 35 miles an hour. He pulled out in front of me, just trying to beat traffic, not paying attention, and hit me on my right side. And obviously, my body suffered a lot of traumatic injuries, right, as a motorcycle accident can be. And so some of that was it actually cut my foot off on impact, which is graphic, maybe too graphic for the podcast. I don't know. It shattered my pelvis, broke my hip, compression fracture in my lower back. Somehow, really no upper body injuries except for the lower back injury. Some cuts and bruises all over, you know, that kind of thing. But it threw me across three lanes. Yeah. The turning lane, the two slow and fast lanes, threw me across all those into a ditch, where I laid for about 5 minutes or so. Thankfully, there were some folks around, right, that saw it happen. Had it happened 3 seconds earlier, because there's dash cam footage of it floating out too, which is crazy. There's a gentleman behind me that had a dash cam. I'll send that to you guys later. if you want to see it. Shoot. No. So there's some people that saw it happen and things, obviously calling 911 and all the things. Had it happened 3 seconds earlier, there was traffic. Had it happened 3 seconds later, there was a semi, right? And so if it was going to happen, thankfully it happened when it did, right? Otherwise, I would have been hit multiple times. So thank the Lord, like he was right there with me, even though it was a motorcycle accident. And some folks were like, how could you say he's with you? Well, this is how, right?
I'm here.
So yeah, I'm here. Exactly. So motorcycle accident happens. Obviously people on scene calling 911, whatever. There was a gentleman that was mowing the yard that I rolled into, hopped off his mower, ran down and put a tourniquet on my leg, ripped off my belt and put a tourniquet on. Now, I believe it's the Lord there, right? Just having somebody that knows anything about anything to put a tourniquet on my leg, stop the bleeding, right? With that as well, there was an off-duty firefighter in the line of traffic. The ambulance was at the gas station I stopped at, quarter mile down the road. So they were able to get there way quicker than normal. The hospital was 7 minutes away. The dispatcher that received the phone call whenever 911 was called was my cousin, which is insane. So she received the phone call. She was able to get a hold of my wife like 20 minutes quicker than protocol, which again, so thankful. And so just if it was going to happen, there were so many little aspects to the thing that it was obvious the Lord was right there, right? To get me in the ambulance, deliver me, and this is what the paramedic told me. She said, I delivered you and your foot to the hospital. Crazy. So they take me to the hospital, couple blood transfusions, some x-rays, and then put me in a helicopter to fly me to St. Louis. Well, thankfully, my cousin was the dispatcher because she was able to get a hold of my wife 20 minutes quicker, my wife was able to touch me and give me a kiss before I got on that helicopter. And what she didn't know, and we didn't know and understand, is this was June 16th, 2020, right in the heart of COVID. So as they put me in the helicopter, my wife didn't know that that was going to be the last time she was going to be able to see me for 29 days. And neither did I. Like, I was out of it anyway. They had me on the good stuff, you know? And so they put me in the helicopter. I'm taken to St. Louis. They had me in a medically induced coma for about 3 days, just keeping me under because of all the surgeries and things they were having to do. But I remember waking up. I didn't know what had happened. You know, I didn't remember any of it, which I guess is trauma. It's crazy how trauma has a way of just blocking things out in your mind. It's wild. I remember waking up and a nurse standing over me and her saying, do you know where you're at? And I was like, no, what's going on? And she's like, well, you're here in Barnes Jewish Hospital, St. Louis. You were in a motorcycle accident where your lower extremity was dramatically amputated. And she kind of touched my leg. And again, I'm on some really strong meds. And so I'm struggling to respond or comprehend everything that she's saying. And I remember as she left the room, just like, what is happening right now? Where's my wife? Where's my daughter? Like, I have a month and a half old baby right now, which was part of the hardest thing, right? A month and a half old baby, right? Being in the hospital for 29 days, not being able to see my child and my wife for that long. Like, when they're that little, they change so stinking much. As you guys know, you guys have kids, right?
Yeah.
Feels like on their daily, there's something new, something's changing, right? They're growing, they're learning, there's everything. And so that wrecked my heart, wrecked my world. But with that, the next, 26 days, was a long road of recovery, right? And so, ended up having to amputate a little bit more of my leg due to infection and things. Underwent 11 revisions on my right leg, where it had to amputate, which it is below my knee, for those who don't know, which is a big deal. Having my natural knee made learning to walk so much easier. Post-accident, I went 106 days without walking. So a lot of folks, like, 106 days doesn't seem like that long. You know, like right now when you're planning a trip or even like work events are coming up, it's like 106 days. We don't have time to plan for this, you know, is how it can feel. But if whenever you're in the moment of like, I can't walk for 106 days. Oh, I felt like an eternity.
Well, not to mention, just pause it, like thinking, you said 2020. I mean, you're not able to see anybody. You were on full lockdown.
Yes. We have technology. We have FaceTime, you know, and phone calls and text messages and all the things, right? Otherwise, I would have been a mess emotionally, which I was, right?
Absolutely. Well, and to go through something so traumatic and to think about, you know, not being able to see your wife or your daughter or, you know, anyone in your family that could be, help support.
Yeah. Yeah.
And physically.
There was a moment when I was in the hospital, when I was laying in the bed and, you know, male physical therapist had just left the room. He was trying to help me stand up. Right. And I didn't have a prosthesis yet. So I was just kind of scooting to the edge of the bed and trying to stand up on my one leg. Because as you know, muscles that aren't used deteriorate. And so even after laying in a hospital bed for not that terribly long, my muscles were getting weaker. And so they were trying to get me up. And physically, I would like to think that I'm physically fit and able-bodied enough to stand up.
Right.
He's off of a bed. Even with the help of the male physical therapist, I could not. which is weird, right? And so they ended up having to like raise the bed all the way up to get me up, and that got in my head, right? And so whenever therapist left, I remember laying in my hospital bed for a moment, just being like, all right, Lord, I don't know what the heck life is going to look like anymore. I don't know what's bathing going to look like. What is the day-to-day? Like, I don't know anything, Lord, but I know that you're bigger than this. And so I'm going to need you to do this because I'm emotionally spent. I'm physically spent. I don't have anyone to lean on as far as relationally right now. Like, I don't have anybody physically present with me. Lord, I all I got to you, and I need you to step in. And he did, right? And he gave me this strength because I was like, all right, Lord, I can't do this alone. And we all say the things, you know, like we've all heard, oh, you're never alone. God's always with you, all those things. And like I said earlier, I thought, you know, like, hey, I'm, you know, pretty strong in my faith, but it was those moments of being tested where it's like, all right, who are you going to turn to? Yourself? Are you going to turn, like, actually recognize your inherent need for the one and only, like, and be like, all right, I can't do this, Lord, I need you. And thankfully, I released it to him, right?
Yeah. So. Man, I tell you what, I think, thank you, number one, for just sharing your story, because I think that sets up the power that you're going to give everybody as to maybe how you continue to walk, not only walk, but you literally walk for you, but for sure. you win in this world. Right. And I think back to our journey at COVID, and it was like, you know, it's always said people hate change, right? Just one thing natural that people don't like to do is change. One thing that COVID presented to everyone in the world was forced change. So you had no choice but to change. It wasn't that I wanted to. And now in the middle of that for you, your whole life has changed, right? So you can't recreate that for somebody. You know, we talk about how to train agents and how to create the experiences for them to allow for them to grow faster and go faster than we did because we've been there. But your situation is not something you can recreate for someone, right? So I think that's why what you're going to teach us today is so powerful, because there's a few, I'm sure, but not many people that are listening to this show have done what you've done. And that was where I wanted to kind of pivot this to the next chapter and overcoming, right? Sales is difficult and it's a mental grind and it beats us up every day. And overcoming is part of what it takes to win, and those that do it the best. So I wanted to just ask you, like, overcoming the difficult, what have you learned, and how do you personally, where do you go? Because everybody goes somewhere up here in their head. Where do you go to overcome the struggles, the daily struggles, just with everything, sales, life, adversity? Yeah.
Without sounding too cliche or beating a dead horse, for lack of a better term, number one, it's the Lord, right? Like, all right, Lord, like, give me a new perspective here, because I'm upset in the business. I've been door killed 3 times. What am I doing wrong? Start with him. But then obviously the way our business is set up is we have uplines. We have folks that we can call and get honest feedback. Hey, this is the situation. This is what happened. What do I need to do? What did I do wrong? Talk through it, whatever. Get your headspace right. Go hit the next one. And so obviously first it's the Lord, right? And so leaning into, like, God's promises, leaning into his word, right? He speaks through what he's already spoken, right? And so if you want to hear from the Lord, get in his word. And so honestly, just like perspective, right? Asking the Lord to shift my perspective. But also the biggest thing is making sure you're surrounding yourself with the right people. Like, community is key. Like, you've got to have a good community. And the other side of it is, honestly, like, whenever you take your perspective in adversity and you kind of zoom it out a little bit, and you look at it, you can honestly be like, all right, no, I'm thankful. Like, I know I'm ticked off in this realm because of this situation and this, but at the end of the day, like, I can lean in and overcome because of who he is and because he's made me and shaped me to be who I am, right? And I hope that answers the question, but.
No, it, I mean, it does, man. I mean, you got to get out of your feels sometimes. And I like how you said that and you framed that with also, you can borrow someone else's strength, somebody that's sitting right there beside you. You know, when you're down, somebody around you hopefully is up. And that's the importance of surrounding yourself with the right people. And I know that that is kind of one of our secrets to success. You know, it's like I said, the insurance world, you're faced with 1,000 opportunities. If you decide you want to get an insurance, there's, you turn left, turn right, turn front, turn back, look down, look up. There's an opportunity for you somewhere here, you know.
Yeah.
But sure. what you get where you turn is going to be different depending on where you go. And that is certainly what we try to separate ourselves from the pack is with how much we do care. And I know that you guys have almost become family to our group, certainly for the one specifically within Lyft and Kevin Glasscock and his group. Excited about where you guys are going. We've opened up new territories. We have an Iowa market that is fresh for new opportunity. So there's so much, yeah, so much more to come, and it's always easier doing it together, right?
Oh yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Josh, let me ask you, as far as this business, it is very much, we are in the people business, and relationship building is a big factor in what it is that we do day in, day out. You know that firsthand. So what are some really specific methods that you lean into to help grow that relationship with your client that really helps make the sales process a little bit easier?
Yeah, absolutely. I think relationship is everything. Everything in life is based on relationship, right? Sales included in that. And so with that being said, like in what we do, it's making sure that the client is heard. Like God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? Listen to them, hear them, become a friend, right? But there's a level of friend and professional that you have to be careful with. But listen to them. Actually let them be heard. Acknowledge them. Ask questions. And actually be interested. You know what I mean? Like, don't be that fake salesy. Like, people can sniff that out. You know what I mean? People understand when somebody's trying to manipulate them emotionally or relationally, right? And so people can sniff that out. Don't be that guy. Just honestly listen and become a friend, right? And I always tell every family I'm with, I get to show up a stranger and leave a part of the family. And I believe that. I mean that. Because every sit, I've had Kevin Glasscock tell me, I've had many people go to the next home and just lose yourself in them and their situations, their problems, their joy, their whatever. And so with that being said, like actually listen, I think is the biggest thing, because in sales, we like to talk. Just what it is. We like to talk. We want to be the professional. We want to dictate it all. And there's a level of, yes, taking control of the situation and the sit, but there's also a level of listen and respond. So I think that's maybe one of the strongest things for me is just being able to actually listen. Yeah.
Well, and I would also say, you know, thinking about that, you know, when you think about adversity and things that you've already been through, you know, how many times do you often revert back to those trying, extremely difficult, wouldn't want anybody else to have to go through that moment, and you're like, you know what, today is not that bad. The fact that I got door killed or someone told me no, that's not that bad. It's like nothing that I, if I can face what I faced in 2020, I can do anything.
100%. Yeah, it's like a door kills way better than losing another limb. As simple as it sounds.
Yeah, I mean,
Oh, shoot.
I would say you really have to figure it out. I mean, just so we all understand, Josh is driving around in a vehicle every
Yeah.
day to go meet these clients and make his money. And
It's true.
I imagine that process changed a little bit for you from what it used to be.
Oh yeah, I dropped my left foot. I got pulled over yesterday. I
Oh.
pulled the old prosthetic out and just let him see it. I got out of a ticket, so.
Well, I was going to ask you
That's
about that.
awesome.
I didn't want to dig too deep. I didn't want to uncover your secrets here for everybody to see, but I'm sure that's a topic of conversation that we get into the middle of when you show up at your stranger's house unannounced and you come in on one leg.
You trying to like mimic how I walk with that little
Yeah,
was
I'm not, I don't, it just came out, you know?
Oh yeah, it definitely comes up. I don't just rock it out in front. I'm not Gary Kissing, like, hey, here it is, you know. Actually cut one pant leg out, you know, facially see it. Now, I do loop it into most sits because honestly, when people know that you've been through some crap, there's a level of respect and like connection that can be made there, right? Whenever they're talking about like, hey, this is going on, I've been through this and this and this, and they talk about, man, like I watched this happen, and I just, you know, people don't understand when you walk through tragedy, and I'm like, hey, I understand, you know, lean down, pull up the leg, pull up the pant leg, you know, or whatever. Like it's a level of, oh, holy crap, this guy has walked through some crap, and it gives you credibility too, you know. So definitely.
Yeah, you know, they say people don't connect with your wins, they connect with your vulnerability, right? It's like if I want to tell you the story
Yes.
about how great I am and how good we've done and all of the success, everybody looks at that and it's more of a, I guess, an animosity towards because they don't know what you've been through. They don't know how hard it was. They don't know the sacrifices that you make. So it's always so much more relatable when we tell about the losses and the struggles, because again, this is a wicked world and everybody is really trying, you know, you're trying to figure out how to win in it because we really only have two choices, right? You either figure out how to keep moving, figure out how to win, or you kind of just curl up and roll up and give in. And hopefully that's not the choice nobody's looking to make. So Josh, I know we talked about Iowa. I know we've talked about your team.
Yeah.
You guys are a powerhouse, and I know the buzz around Orca in our world is it can't be better. You know, there's not a bigger buzz towards a group that we have that's growing, doing the right things, surrounded and equipped with great leadership. I just want to ask you a little bit about your relationship with us, like. How has your relationship with Orca been? How has that worked out for you since you made the decision to partner with us? And are we delivering what it is you expect for you to go where you want to go with your business?
The quick and easy answer is yes, from my immediate above and beyond
You can be
in
honest.
this. From no, I'm not just selling some fake thing here. No, I'm for real. From my immediate first interview and conversation with Kevin, we clicked so well, right? And I knew, I'm like, this is a guy I need to have more conversations with, right? And so from, you know, multiple conversations and interviews and everything, I knew, all right, if Orca is everything that Kevin is saying it is, then this is absolutely a company that I want to partner with. And so from that decision, I was all in, right? And being all in, meant this whole dynamic of work, not just calling it a family, but it really is a family, like hit deep within me, because I was just welcomed so quickly, right? They were growing the Missouri market at the time. I was just an Indeed hire. And so I saw the family dynamic that they had from y'all in Kentucky, right, around Louisville. And I wanted that. right? I saw how you, like, you guys were doing life together, all the things, and they would incorporate me as much as they can, but I'm 6 hours away. You can only do so much there, right? And so I see the weekend stuff that they're doing together, and I wanted that. And so that's why I ended up starting to build a team, and we can get into that. But the leadership here at Orca is phenomenal. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be prouder to be a part of a team than I am right now. Just shout out to Alex and Kevin Glasscock. Like, they go above and beyond every single day. They're men of their word. If they say this is what's going to happen, this is what I'm going to do, they do it, which is huge, right? It's not always been the case for them. And so I'm super thankful for that. And they've inspired me to be that for my guys, for my people, right? And so every day is a new challenge and things in front of us, but they're always a phone call away, always there to help. And they're stretching me and growing me even outside of, sorry, I got a phone call, even outside of the business. And so, even on a personal development level, right? They're constantly pouring into me and my family and loving on us. Even for instance, you know, we had our third child 3 months ago now, which is crazy to say. And then, you know, a few weeks into his life, we were ended up being in the ICU for about a month. And so because the business is what it is, it allowed me the space to actually have the time with my family and be completely 100% present with my wife and my child. And because of that, like, even in that realm, Kevin and Alex and the rest of the team, you guys even didn't have to even send a text message, didn't have to call, didn't have to do any of that. But everybody went above and beyond, even to the thing of, like, family's there through the junk, through the good, through the triumph, through the tragedy, all the stuff. And they were right there with me, right? And not in the work scenario. They weren't like throwing work in my face. Hey, can you do this, this, this? No, it's just like, hey, what do you need? Can we get you guys some food while you're in the hospital? We're going to DoorDash this. Like, and I just say that to say, I'm so thankful for the culture that is at Orca. It's unmatched. Never been a part of something so strong and so incredibly special.
Well, we want to, I mean, first and foremost, thank you so much for those kind words, but we are so... when Kevin had first shared with me about you and then I got to actually meet you, I was like, oh my gosh. And then what you and your team have been able to do, and just the passion and just the connection that you all have. It's something, it's contagious. You want to be a part of it. And so, like you saw in Kentucky, and then, you know, Kevin sharing with me about your all's calls and your Tuesday calls, and it's just contagious, and you want to be a part because, you know, like you said, being there when things weren't great and lifting everybody up, hey, what can we do for you? So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say, Josh, one thing, one of our values that we've learned and acquired from John Maxwell and our mentors is people of value, adding value to valuable people. And that is a mantra that runs deep. And what I would say is when you, the valuable person that you are, the skill set that you have, the integrity that you work with, the desire and the mission that you are living out, you're going to weed through the people that aren't adding value to you, right? So I would just say, you know, it's all about character. I love how John says culture is not what you say, it is who you are. And, you know, you can't fake that. So, it doesn't go lightly, you know, those words and the appreciation for that. And I would say it doesn't go without intention. Culture is something to be done intentionally. So, we are so excited about where you're going, man, and what you're doing in the business. We're very thankful that we have crossed paths and that the timing connected us the way, that it has. And a big lesson I've taken today when it comes to winning in this world is staying connected. If there is something that I have personally seen and lived through is when you isolate yourself, that is when it is time that you will get overtaken. So whatever that battle you're facing, you can't fight it alone. And I know that that was a big thing for you. Appreciate you sharing with us, man. Super powerful to watch you win. You know what I mean? Not just walk through what you've been through in life, but you are winning. You're driving forward. You're on a mission. And it's exciting to see where we go together, man.
I'm excited too, man. And I couldn't be happier with where I am, Orca is, my team is. We're all super excited. There's a ton of momentum and excitement around what's happening. I couldn't be happier. And so excited.
Absolutely. Josh, thank you so much for pouring in to all of our listeners today. And thank you to our Hype listeners. And we will see you all next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's hype.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.